Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
A handcuffed George Zimmerman briefly appeared before a magistrate today to face a charge of second-degree murder for the killing of teenager Trayvon Martin in a gated community in Sanford, Florida. An arraignment was set for next month. His lawyer asked for records in the case to be sealed. The second-degree murder charge surprised many legal experts when it was announced yesterday. We'll have more on that. But first, let's get some reaction. Clarence Page is the nationally syndicated columnist for the Chicago Tribune. Clarence, we're told the family and their legal team were surprised by the charge, but they see it as meaning the prosecutor means business. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I, in fact, just happened to be with Reverend Jesse Jackson last night when news of the verdict came in, and I think he spoke for a lot of people when he said that this should not be viewed as a victory because it is simply justice, what the family's been asking for all along, that Zimmerman be arrested so that this can be fully investigated. So there's a sense that, yes, justice is being answered so far. And the question of the murder charges, that's about as strong as you can get if you don't have proof of premeditation.
Right.
I don't think anybody's charging premeditation here, but these are strong charges.
Well, some analysts are saying that Florida's stand your ground law is going to trump that charge, and that that may even be the prosecutor's plan, you know, to go after that law. And we're going to take that up in just a couple of minutes, but let's talk about race and this story. I mean, you've written that this would just have been, you know, a local story were it not for the racial angle, were it not for the fact that Trayvon Martin was black. Have I got you right on that?
Well, yeah, because this, as I began to look into the story, I found all these other stand your ground type cases, mm-hmm. Similar circumstances, but where race was not an issue because the victim and the shooter were of the same race. In this case, especially with it being a teenage victim with no criminal record, we see an emblematic situation that looks like the scenario African Americans are talking about all the time, which is racial profiling of a kid to be suspicious, a potential criminal, when actually that's not the case. And in this case, a young man is dead. So there was a very strong national reaction from African Americans of all income groups and of all regions, because this really struck us a strong cultural nerve.
Well, from whites as well. And just a quick question. Do you think that there should have been some sort of hate crime charge given that?
They've got to have evidence of a hate crime, meaning that bigotry has to be a factor here. And that that evidence is not right up front. He wasn't wearing a swastika or a hood or something.
Or Clarence, I got to ask you, maybe wasn't a bigot. And that brings us to something we're hearing today, more than in past days. You know, earlier we reached Tremaine Lee. He's the young African-American reporter for the Huffington Post. He was one of the first reporters on the story before it went national. Unfortunately, he was on a train. We could barely hear him. But what he did say is that this started as a case of racial profiling, as you just said, but he feels it's much broader now, that it's, you know, more of a, I don't know, a look at the national consciousness. And he says it is possible that this might have happened to a white child as well. And he pointed to Trayvon Martin's mother's comments yesterday saying this isn't a black thing or a white thing. And today on the Today Show, she was asked what she would say if she saw George Zimmerman face to face. She said, first of all, she'd ask for an apology. But then she said this.
I believe it was an accident. I believe that it just got out of control and he couldn't turn the clock back.
And Clarence Page, is there a little bit of a shift going on, a sense of, I don't know, we want to make it broader?
I think, you know, we've got some conflicting narratives here as to what the family was asking for in the first place and what those of us in the outside world are looking at.
Yeah.
You know, I'm the father of a 22-year-old son with dreadlocks who gets profiled, and I've warned him in advance about, you know, watch out for this on the street, et cetera. This is the kind of thing that goes on in African-American households. So immediately, because you had a shooter who was not black and a victim who was, that immediately triggered this narrative that the rest of us imposed on this. The family, all they wanted was for Zimmerman to be arrested so that this could be investigated.
Right. Well,
and now they've got that. So I think that's why you hear her saying, no, she's he ever charged a hate crime in the first place? But a lot of the rest of us said, looks like it could be a hate crime.
Well, and we're hearing commentators today say that Trayvon Martin's family and legal team should think of including white supporters at their appearances to signal that there is some, you know, there is broad support. And then also hearing that, you know, during the trial, some of these things we've heard anecdotally about George Zimmerman are going to come out, if there is a trial, that he had black neighbors who asked him to watch their homes, that he spearheaded a fundraising drive for a black homeless man. And the thinking is that if this is sort of positioned as just a trial about race, it allows all Americans not to examine, you know, what they might do in a similar – it allows them to point a finger at one man.
Yeah. Well, like I say, we got two different narratives here. There's a hate crime narrative, and there is the simple, young black male is the most suspicious creature on the streets at night scenario. And I think that latter one is the one that a lot of us have been thinking about. If you want to talk about hate crime, then that's for your legal expert guest, because a hate crime is only something that enhances a penalty for something for some other violent crime or vandalism or something. If you scrawl a swastika on a synagogue, they can put hate crime on top of the vandalism charge and make some much more serious. So that's something for courts to decide. I don't think that's an issue in this case. The fact is, this child is dead, and murder has been accused. Now, second-degree murder is the charge. And so that's what goes on in the courtroom. Whether or not the family stands with people who are white or Asian or whatever shouldn't matter in that courtroom. It does matter for those of us in this national discussion outside.
Clarence Page, nationally syndicated columnist for the Chicago Tribune. Thanks so much, as always, Clarence.
Thank you.
Let's turn now to Emily Bazelon, legal affairs editor for Slate. Emily, so take us through the nuts and bolts of this charge. First of all, you know, let's just go to basics. What is second-degree murder?
Second-degree murder is a charge that does not require premeditation, but it does require the prosecutors to show that George Zimmerman had what's called a depraved mind, showing no regard for human life. So that is a pretty high standard in terms of the kind of act he's being accused of committing here.
Wait, a depraved mind with no regard for human life? I mean, what are some of the things that would show that?
You know, if you've kind of gone after someone for absolutely no reason, then presumably that is what triggers that kind of medieval language. But I think the fact that we're struggling with this shows why a lot of people have been wondering if a manslaughter charge wouldn't be a better fit for the facts, at least as we've known them so far.
Because manslaughter means?
Because in manslaughter, you know, you're still obviously accused of killing someone, but the reasons can be less sharp. So, for example, George Zimmerman could argue that he had a sincere belief that he was in danger, and the jury could find him guilty of manslaughter even if they think his sincere belief was unreasonable. It's that kind of middle ground that might be actually easier for a case like this.
And by the way, Emily, what does it mean to you that Trayvon Martin's mother said today that she thought it was an accident?
Well, I thought that was really interesting. I mean, obviously, this is the way that cases are charged, up to prosecutors. It's not in the hands of family members. And I could imagine that for the Martin family, there is a sense of great relief that this man who killed their son has been arrested, and a feeling now of perhaps being more ready to think about, if not forgiveness, at least trying to imagine the extenuating circumstances. And so that's what I read in Trayvon's mother's remarks this morning, and we'll just have to see how this all plays out in court. I mean, this is very early stages yet for the prosecution.
Well, what about Florida's Stand Your Ground law? How will that intersect with this charge? And first, let's listen. At yesterday's press conference to announce the charges, the special prosecutor, Angela Corey, was asked whether Florida's Stand Your Ground law will be challenged in this case. Here's what she said.
This case is just like many of the shooting deaths we've had in our circuit. If Stand Your Ground becomes an issue, we fight it if we believe it's the right thing to do. So if it becomes an issue in this case, we will fight that affirmative defense.
Emily Bazelon, many people are saying that in addition to George Zimmerman being on trial and perhaps racial profiling being on trial, the Stand Your Ground law and gun laws are on trial.
Well, I hope that's true, because I think the Stand Your Ground laws are really dangerous. And, you know, what Angela Corey said is true. What will happen is that if Zimmerman asserts a self-defense, which presumably he will, there will be a pre-trial hearing at which a judge will determine whether that defense means there should be no trial at all and he should just get off then. And the state will obviously be arguing very hard that that's not true. But when you look at some of the recent decisions in Florida, it's pretty alarming. There was a man who saw someone trying to steal a radio from his truck, and he got a big knife and chased the guy down the street and stabbed him to death. He, last week, a judge threw out the charges against him under the state's Stand Your Ground law.
We have another one. A man was at a fairgrounds, and he got into a fight with someone. He went home, got his gun, went back, shot and killed the person. He was tried but eventually cleared under the Stand Your Ground law.
Exactly. I mean, these scenarios, you get close to, I mean, it's not exactly an execution, but you're getting close to people being able to be very aggressive, because Stand Your Ground means that you don't have to retreat, even when it's reasonable to think that you should retreat.
But what would happen in this case? Would they have to then, how would they fight the Stand Your Ground law while pursuing this case? I mean, how would that work?
Well, there are witnesses who say that they saw George Zimmerman on top of Trayvon Martin, and that would suggest that it was Zimmerman who was the aggressor. And we also know from the 911 tapes that a few minutes before the shooting, Zimmerman got out of his truck and was following Martin. So, you know, there is some evidence suggesting that it was Zimmerman who was the aggressor. The problem for the state will be at least these reports of, according to the cops, there are anonymous witnesses who say that they saw Martin attack Zimmerman or Martin on top of Zimmerman, and that is going to be trickier.
Well, Emily Bazelon, what do you think the chances are that this will go to trial?
That is such a good question. I mean, often when you see a very heavy charge like this, what you imagine is that the state is hoping for some kind of plea bargain, for example, to manslaughter in this case. That could certainly happen. And it could also happen that a judge faced with Zimmerman's self-defense will agree with the initial call that the police made and decide that he can't stand trial. So there are these really interesting variables in this case, and we're going to get a very close-up, very spotlighted national view of exactly how the Stand Your Ground law in particular will play out.
And just briefly, we only have a few seconds, but Clarence Page asked me to ask you, there were not hate crime charges in this case, and as we just heard, you had to have evidence that someone was a bigot. Do we assume that there wasn't a charge because the evidence wasn't found?
That's a really good question. What Mr. Page said about hate crimes is exactly right. There was talk that on that 911 tape, Zimmerman uttered a racial epithet. You listen to it, it's really hard to hear. I'm not sure what other kind of evidence the state would have. It's very hard. This is about someone's state of mind, which is always hard to tell.
Right. Emily Bazelon, legal affairs editor for Slate. The first of many days we're going to be talking about this trial as we look toward it. Emily, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.